ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो यमुदीरयत् नस्तप्रायश्रेयबादरीषु नित्य भगवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैस्तकी सवाईपुंसं परो धर्मो यतो भक्तिरदुक्षये अहैतकी अप्रतीयता येयत्मा सुप्रसेदति. This morning we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 5, chapter 2, text number 18. That's correct? 18 to 20. You did 18 and 19 yesterday? And okay. Sacha tatastasya virayuttapatirbuddhisilarupavaya shriyo daryena parakshipta manastena sahayuta yuta parivatsa rupalakshanam kalam yambudvitpapatina baumasvarga bhogan bubuje. Translation. Attracted by the intelligence, learning, youth, beauty, behavior, opulence, and magnanimity of Agnidra, the king of Yambudvip, and master of all heroes, Purvachita lived with him for many thousands of years and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. By the grace of Lord Brahma, King Agnidra and the heavenly girl Purvachita found their union quite suitable. Thus, they enjoyed worldly and heavenly happiness for many thousands of years. Text 19. In the womb of Purvachita, Maharaj Agnidra, the best of the kings, begot 9 sons named Nabi, Kimpurusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, Hiranmaya, Kuru, Padreshva, and Ketumala. Text 20. Sasutavata sutan navanu vatsarang griha eva pahaya purvachittir budhyae vajjam devam upataste. Maybe you can chant. This is 20, isn't it? Yeah.
Sasutvata sutan nanu vanu charanam. Eva pahaya purvachir bhujya eva. Evadyam devam upataste.
Translation and purport. Purvachita gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year. But after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. Maybe you can repeat. Purvachita gave birth to these 9 sons, one each year. But after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. Purport. There are many instances in which Apsaras, heavenly angels, have descended to this earth by the order of a superior demigod like Lord Brahma or Lord Indra have followed the demigod's order by marrying someone and giving birth to children, and have then returned to their celestial homes. For example, after Menaka, the celestial woman who had come to delude Vishvamitra Muni, gave birth to the child Sakuntala, she left both the child and her husband and returned to the heavenly planets. Purvachita did not remain permanently with Maharaj Agnidra. After cooperation in the household affairs, she left Maharaj Agnidra and all nine sons and returned to Brahma to worship him. Panchakalpa Drupadastya Kripa Sindhubhya Evastya Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namom Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimata Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashtatya Desatanine Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyanandjana Salakya Chakchurnamilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vas Adi Gaur Bhaktivarinda Shri Nishringa Jaina Shringa Jaya Jaya Narasringa Deva Praradesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringam Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste Jaste Rishi Ravir Vibhava Brajanaka Brajadamstra Kanamashyam Dandiya Dandiya Tamo Grasa Grasa Swaha Abhyam Abhyam Atmani Bhuyashishta Om Kshraum Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, I focus my mind on the first verse, but text 18. So, the translation, he was attracted by the intelligence, learning, youth, beauty, behavior, opulence, and magnanimity of Agnidra, the king of Jambudvip and master of all heroes. Purvachita lived with him for many thousands of years and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. So Prabhupada, see, he wrote in the introduction of this chapter that the king, his character, he was described, the character of King Agnidra. So this chapter is dealing with the person of King Agnidra. He was the son of King. He was the son of the king. Who? Previous verse. I'm very bad in remembering names. Priyavrata, yeah, thank you very much. So, King Priyavrata, he was also a very great personality. Actually, he was a renunciate. Yeah. And when his father asked him to marry and to take up the responsibility of the kingdom, actually, he refused in the first instance, because he wanted to stay renounced, aloof of material life, like Sukadev Goswami. Actually, he even didn't want to take birth in this world. He did not want to have anything to do with matter. So therefore, he refused to take birth. So Priyavrata also, although he lived in this world, he didn't actually want to have nothing to do with this world, with worldly things. He wanted to stay transcendental, aloof. So when his father came, he said, "Now actually your turn to take the responsibility." He said, "No, father, thank you very much. You know, I like to stay renounced. I like to be a renunciate." So his father is trying and convince him, but he could not convince him. Although he is one of the 11 Mahajans. He's Manu, so he's a very powerful personality. So then Manu thought that... Of course, I don't know what Mara exactly thinks, but I can imagine that you're thinking that for the son, maybe it's difficult to accept this instruction for me, because he might think that I am self-motivated, yeah, that I want to get rid of the kingdom so that I can become renounced. So and therefore he is pushing me to take up this responsibility. Yeah, so therefore he was thinking, let's go to Lord Brahma, he's my father, and his grandfather, so maybe he can accept the authority of Lord Brahma. So then Lord Brahma, he went to King Priyavrata and he said, look, actually you should take up this responsibility because your father is at age and he also wants to renounce this world, and it is, you know, in the tradition that the son, you know, take up responsibility and somebody has to do it. So and then King Priyavrata, actually he accepted the order of Lord Brahma, and so he took up this responsibility of taking care of the kingdom. So it's a great responsibility, is to take care even of one person, is a great responsibility. Even when a mother has a child, you know, that is, or more children, and family is very great responsibility. What to speak of being the mayor of a village or a town, or be the king of the whole country, it's very, it's like a heavy weight on your shoulder. So, but he accepted, because of he has a good character, because King Priyavrata was of a very good character, because he had a very good upbringing, and therefore he was very obedient, although not in the first instance, but later, actually, okay, he accepted that position. He was not completely like saying, I don't want to do this, and I, no, he took that. So that is a sign of good character. A sign of good character is like, to accept authority. And because by accepting this authority, one can be trained. So when a child is obedient to the parents, the parents can train him very nicely. And they can build up his personality and his character. And when he go to school, he can accept the authority of the teachers. And also, become very obedient citizen later when he get married. He is like obedient to the government and the state. He is also obedient to the spiritual master. He learns how to be also obedient to the supreme personality of Godhead. So this is actually one of the most important aspects of good character, is humility. Humility is very important. Humility means also to accept authority and to follow. So this is a very important principle in spiritual life. And I just remember something that Prabhupada wrote in the Bhagavad Gita about this. It's not this one, it is. He speaks about the training of a brahmachari. And then he said, these are some of the Vedic principles for observing brahmacharya. He first mentioned a few points of, you know, how to observe brahmacharya. And then he said, after the student studies the Vedas under the master for a period from 5 to 20 years, he may become a man of perfect character. Study of the Vedas is not meant for the recreation of armchair speculators, but for the formation of character. Now, this is what Prabhupada said, that the whole training of brahmacharya, of student life, is also to form the character of a personality. And this has very much like influence on the rest of his life. How he will be a good Kriyastha, how he will be a good Vanaprastha, and how he will ultimately obtain the perfection, to become renounced of this world, develop love of God, and go back to the spiritual world. So that is actually the principle of the Vedic studies. And then my mind came to this other part of the of a purport of the Bhagavad Gita. We put it also in a little booklet, because in this purport, say Prabhupada, he put in a nutshell, he put actually the whole philosophy of Krishna conscious. And the whole absolute truth is just in a little piece. Yeah. He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself into many for his ever-increasing bliss. And the living entities are part and parcel of this spiritual bliss. They also have partial independence, but by misfortune of their independence, when the service attitude is transformed into the propensity for sense enjoyment, they come under the sway of lust. This material creation is created by the Lord to give facility to the conditioned soul to fulfill these lustful propensities. And when completely baffled by prolonged lustful activities, the living entities begin to inquire about their real position. This inquiry is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, wherein it is said, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. One should inquire into the Supreme. And so Prabhupada gives in this little purport, he gives actually the whole meaning of Vedic life, and all meaning also of ourselves, also our own lives. He said that we are expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The soul is an expansion of the Lord, is a part and parcel of the Lord. And why the Lord has expanded himself? What is the meaning of his expanding himself? What was in the purport? Somebody knows what Prabhupada said? Sorry? For the pleasure, to expand his ananda. Because in the Vedas it is said that the Lord is one. But in order to expand his enjoyment, he expands himself into many. And that many, that are we. We are these expansions. And Prabhupada said that the soul is qualitatively is one with the Lord. There's no difference in qualification. It's only the greatness of the Lord is much greater. So this is a very important point, that when the living entity thinks himself as big as the Lord, then actually he gets into trouble when he thinks he is independent. And so So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the supreme intelligent. So, and he is supremely knowing how one can enjoy in the best way, not only for himself, but also for his part and parcels. And because actually he knows perfectly everything. So, and it's not that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is an egocentric person in that sense. His mind is always to the welfare of everybody. And so this is true. So the living entity, he is a part and parcel of the word of the Lord, and by quality he is one, and still by quantity he is different. Yeah. Krishna is called Vibhu, and we are called Anu. Anu means infinitesimal small, and Vibhu means unlimited big. And so although we are qualitatively one, and still there's a difference. So he is a person, God is a person, and therefore we are also persons. He is an individual, and therefore, because we have the qualities of God, we are also individuals. So this is the point, and because we are individuals, we have also this individual own willpower. We have our own will. And so we can act according to our own will. So if the living entities, when they are expansions from the Lord, when they don't want to accept the plan of enjoyment from the Lord, and then they are like in fight with the Lord, in duality. And because the Lord has one plan to enjoy, and he wants to expand himself and he wants to have a very nice association. But when the living entities don't want to cope with this, and when you become opposed, then there's a problem, there's a duality. So duality means there is fight. And where a fight is, there cannot be any peace. And when there's no peace, there's no happiness or ananda. So instead of increasing Krishna's ananda, the souls who oppose to Krishna's will, they become a source of displeasure. And not only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I said sometimes also to people, that Personality of Godhead, he can tolerate a rebellion. He has no problems with that. But he cannot tolerate that we become rebellious to the other living entities in the spiritual world. That we become a disturbance for the other living entities. So therefore, actually, when a soul, he don't want to accept the plan of the Lord for enjoyment, he don't want to put the Lord's will in the center, but he want to put his own will in the center, and then there's a problem. And so therefore Krishna said, okay, you become not only a disturbance to me, but you become a disturbance to all the living entities, because you're not anymore in harmony. I am thinking only about the pleasure of the living entities, and the living entities, they are thinking only of the pleasure of me. So therefore they are not only in harmony with me, but also with each other. But when you becomes egocentric and you're going to work only for the pleasure of yourself, you're not only in harmony anymore with me, but also with all the other living entities in the spiritual world. So therefore, and I don't allow any disturbance in my family. The Prabhupada said sometimes when a child in a family is a source of disturbance, and then the parents, they put him in a home, so that he will not disturb the life of the other children in the happy family life. I've been from my 10 till my 21, I've been in different homes. So I've seen some of these persons who are like, could not live anymore with their parents, one way or another. And sometimes also because of this reason, that they could not cope with their parents. And so the parents, they put them in a home. And so that the other children who want to be obedient, they are not disturbed in their happiness. So the Prabhupada, he said, and therefore, in order to have an alternative, because living entities are qualitatively one with the Lord, so they are also eternal. They are Brahman, they are also eternal. So if they cannot stay in the spiritual world, they have to stay somewhere. And Krishna is very merciful, because still he loved the living entity, although even the living entity becomes rebellious, he still loved the living entity. Like a father, and they feel pain that they have to put the son in a home for children who are a little difficult. They rather like them to be at home, but because he's a disturbance, they have to take this action for the happiness of the other children. So therefore Krishna, actually, he said, I will create a world, and it is this mature world. This world is a world where the living entities can, say, manifest this egocentric behavior. And here they can, be engrossed in gratification, in self-gratification. So therefore, Krishna is very merciful. He gives us this alternative, this mature world, for the living entities who want to be self-centered, who don't want to put Krishna's will in the center, but their own will. He said, okay, I will not force you. Why is it that Krishna will not force us? Why God will... Because he is so powerful. He can force us to do what he wants. But why he doesn't do that? Sorry? Yeah, but he wants to interfere with our free will. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, that's good in music. Yeah, that's also, he will not interfere in our free will, but because of love, because he wants to have a loving relationship. It's a fact. And if there's force, there cannot be any love. There's the nature of the living entity. He don't like to be forced. He don't like to be a slave, you know, and whipped to do what another say that he has to do. And that's also not the plan of Krishna. He wants to have, he expand himself to have a loving relationship with his expansions. So therefore, in principle, he cannot force them, because if there's force, they will not love him. So they have to come to their own conclusion. He wants that out of their free will, out of their love, the living entity serves the Lord. So therefore, he gives this alternative. So therefore, this world is a world where all the living entities will come, who want to exploit this opportunity. So I said also, when I preached to people, he said, so you had the desire to expose your own free will, and you want to enjoy yourself, as put yourself in the center. He said, when you come to this world, there's only one problem. Yeah. And what is that problem? No. Yeah. That you're not the only one. So that becomes a little complicated. If you are alone on an island, then there's no problem. You can do your own will. But also, this planet is also an island in space. But there are hundreds and millions and zillions of living entities who have the same idea, to be the enjoyer and to be the controller. They are out of enjoyment and of might. Because when you have might, you can have enjoyment. The more power you have, the more enjoyment you can. So therefore, this power, it's said this lustful propensities, the lust for power. If people are eager for power, they are very lusty people. They want, because they want to enjoy, they need control, so that they can do their own will. So therefore, this world, there's a constant fight going on. Who want to have the most enjoyment? Constant fight on property, constant fight on power. So, and therefore, because there's a constant fight, there's no happiness. And because when there's duality, dual means fight, fight means, stress means unhappiness. And you see, in some countries when there's no or less authority, there's no powerful authority, you can see that the people are fighting like anything with each other, killing each other with machetes and I'll do all kind of horrible things, raping women, there's like one person is now, one lady even, is now into court in Den Haag, because she inspired, I think, the Hutu people to rape the Tutsi people, like that kind of horrible things is going on. So an intelligent person, when he sees this world, when he comes to his awakening, he thinks, what is going on here? What a mess is here. I don't like to live here, actually. And some even people, they go so far that they kill each other, themselves, because they cannot see to live any longer in such a mess. And they become more and more, the more Kali Yuga, the more this time is progressing, the more these symptoms will be more gross. Because in human life, there are some, if they follow some structure, if they follow this Vedic structure, there's some regulation in sense gratification that there's peace in society. And in Kali Yuga, this is all disturbed. And so there's no powerful government, there's no strict following of rules and regulations that everybody... And why are we here in Belgium? We are to some degree peaceful, because we follow some rules and regulations. There's some laws which keep everybody, and we accept government. So therefore, everybody can have to some degree his senses gratified without any disturbance. But still, it said, Prabhupada said, even on the heavenly planets, even if you live on the heavenly planets, they enjoy hundreds and thousand times more than we do. The damsels, the living, and the angels, and but still, they are fear. They are fearful. They have some fear. So this enjoyment is... Because they're always fearful that the demons come to disturb and the enjoyment. And we also, we are living here in Belgium. We live like, compared to other counties, we live a little bit on a heavenly planet here in Belgium. They say Belgium is like Lui Lekkerland. And many people like to come to Belgium. Huh? Lui Lekkerland. So, like paradise. So many people, they dream of coming to Belgium to have also the celestial life, like driving in a nice motor car, having a nice palace, you know, all that kind of thing. Have very nice food, you know. Go to the supermarket, and there's so much that you even don't know what to choose. Yeah. So some people like it, you know, that they get confused. But what shall I take now? Yeah. If you look in the Carrefour by the milk products, you know, it's like 20-30 meters, you know, of from the vitrines full with milk products. So you even get confused, you know, which kind of yogurt I shall take, which kind of flour I will eat today, you know. There is so much choice. So this is Belgium. And it's because there is some stability and some acceptance of government and authority. Huh?
At the moment, there is no government.
No. And Prabhupada said that because of Kali Yuga, because of this age, people start to live like animals. They don't follow any more rules and regulations. They don't follow the samskaras. They have sex with anybody and everybody. And then the children which comes from this union, they are like, this is called Varnasankara. And Prabhupada said this Varnasankara children, people, they cannot be managed. They're so low in mentality, you cannot manage them properly. And it's what you now see, that governments cannot anymore keep order. Because there's too many people with these bad mentalities. They come from lower parts of the universe, you know, and enter into this planet, and they start to disturb the whole thing. Therefore the governments cannot anymore have the hands in it. And you see, everywhere in the world there's more and more coming also revolutions and fighting, and so this all is actually a symptom of bad character. And good character means being submissive to authority. Starts with being submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and going then to the government, to the king, if he's a spiritual king, a good king, to the spiritual masters and teachers, to your father and mother, who they have to be spiritual. If your father and mother are materialistic, so you can even renounce them. Not maybe completely, but you can live somewhere else, you know. Because we say this verse, Savaipum samparo dharmo yato bhaktiya adokshe ahaitaki apartiyata yatma supersidati, that the supreme duty for a human being is to develop love of Godhead and to surrender to Him in submissive service. That is the supreme duty. So anything which disturbs this duty, we should renounce. This is Rupa Goswami, his statement in an act of instruction. All things which oppose devotional service to the Lord should be renounced. So we came into this world, and by Prabhupada's mercy we got opportunity to get good training. Maybe a lot of us, we started with an incomplete or bad training, and we learned bad things. Many devotees, and then joined the movement, before that time they use LSD, they use alcohol, drugs. Not that was in the 60s. Okay, you were right. Not now anymore, but when Prabhupada was there in the 60s, and most of them were hippies who joined the movement, and we had this free sex, you know, drugs, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and so that was common, that was normal, and so they had not. Because Prabhupada said also, this educational system of you here in America, is actually what is producing? It's producing hippies. Yeah, he said, this is not producing actually gentlemen with good character. Yeah, so therefore Prabhupada said, therefore I started this movement. Yeah. To have an educational system of people, where people can learn to become of good character. So, and it is an art, you know. It is I'm sitting here and we have this knowledge gained from Prabhupada, but to put it in practice is not so easy. To be like a person of perfect character. So it might take some lifetimes, yeah, Prabhupada said. Yeah, he said, don't think you can in one lifetime become pure from like an instance. He said, it takes some lifetimes to get to pure, become a pure person, yeah, of good character. You know, like King Priyavrata, King Anida was also a very elevated person. He had also very good qualities. So, and he was also obedient. He took the post of his father. Priyavrata gave his duty to King Agnidra, his son. So he took up the responsibility and he did some penances, but he also wanted to have a good wife and he wanted to have a good son so that his son later could take up the kingdom. So then Brahma, Lord Brahma, actually his grandfather, actually he saw his penance and his desire for fulfilling his duties. He sent this heavenly damsel, yeah, this celestial lady, to him. Yeah. And it said that they fit each other. When he saw her and she saw him, they were both attracted. And it was a match, like this compatibility that Matiji yesterday spoke about. So Lord Brahma, he knew both the king and he knew this lady. Yeah. So he's very intelligent, Lord Brahma. He thinks these two must match, you know. So he sent that lady, and then they married. So for somebody who don't know the Vedic literature, there is also when they hear this from, and they lived with him for many thousands of years. Yeah. So you might think, how is that possible that they lived for thousands of years a luxurious life? Yeah. So, but it is said in the Vedas. That the time in the universe is relatively experienced. For example, if you have a pyramid, yeah, if you're on the top of the pyramid, you go around the pyramid, it takes a shorter time than when you're on the base of the pyramid and you do the same surrounding. Yeah, it takes much longer time. Yeah. Also, if you have the planet Earth, yeah, if you're on the equator, they call it equator, the Evenaar, equator. If you're on there, so you have a lot of sunshine. But if you are like I think in Sweden or Norway, then 6 months of the year, you know, you have no. You are like in the night, you know, and it's only like half year is day and half year is night. This is Einstein. He realized this, that the time in the universe is relatively experienced. It depends where you are in the universe. So there's a story of Lord Jagannath. Probably many of you know them, but when King Indrajumna, he wanted to worship the deity Nilamadava. But one or another, this chance was not being his desire was not being fulfilled. But Nilamadava said, "I will appear to you, but you first must build a temple to me, and then actually I will appear to you." So he built this temple, and then he got also the opdracht, the assignment, that when the temple is ready, you should let Lord Brahma do the inauguration ceremony. Yeah? So he finished this temple. They built a very beautiful temple together with the help of the Sabaras, the pig people. And they built a very beautiful temple. And then the king, King Indrajumna, he went to Brahmaloka to invite Lord Brahma. And his invitation was, yes, he went there, and he invited Lord Brahma, and then he went back. And when he went back, then like hundreds of years had passed. So his few moments there in Brahmaloka was hundreds of years here on this planet. So what happened? This beautiful temple had been covered by sand hill because it was on the beach. And one day one person, he found by accident the top of the temple. He with his feet, he touched this. He said, "What is this?" And he started to grow, and then he find that it was like a top of a temple. So then he went to the king, and the king at that time, he excavated this whole temple. You know, and he saw this really beautiful, magnanimous temple. So, and he gave his Brahman, his royal Brahman, so no court, he gave the opdracht, the instruction, that we should install deities there. So just on the day of installment, just the day before actually installment, that King Indradyumna, who had built a temple previously, he came back. You know, and when he entered into the temple, he was very happy. Oh, the light is still burning. You know, they put on the light, and that should not go out never. That should stay always on. So, and he saw, he was very satisfied. The light is still burning. Everything looks very clean. Everything looks very nice. And then he saw a Brahmana walking. I said, "What are you doing here? Do I know you?" He said, "I never seen you. Who are you?" He said, I'm the head pujari of this temple. You know, I'm the main Brahmana of this temple." He said, "But where is this Brahmana I know, and I don't know the name anymore? Somebody remember?" "But the name of the Brahmana, where is he?" He said, "Who? We don't know. What are you talking about this Brahmana? We don't know him." So then the king became very angry. He said, what is going on here?" He said, "Tomorrow we're going to inaugurate the deities of the king. King this and this will inaugurate it. It is what king this and this. I'm the king here." So, and he said, "How dare you dare to talk like me?" And he was putting his sword. And this Brahmana thinking, this king is a little, this person is a little crazy. Right? He think he is the king, you know. He said, let I cooperate with him. I cooperated with him. And so he said, "Okay, actually, I understand there's a misconfusion, but let's go to the king. You know, I bring you to the king." So, and then it became apparent after some talking that indeed there was many hundreds of years ago, there was a king, Indradyumna, and he suddenly disappeared. You know, and so, and then Indradyumna, he understood, this is because of the influence of the relativity of time. You know, time is very relative. So therefore, it's not for a devotee, and also for Einstein when he had read this, it was not wonderful that they enjoyed for many thousands of years on the heavenly planets. And for a Christian person, because they say, how can heavenly damsels come here to join with man? But even in the Bible, many people don't know this, but in the beginning, in Genesis, there's a statement, and it's called the sons of God. Yeah? And it stated that in the beginning of times, the sons of God came down to the earth, and they had union with the ladies of this planet, because they liked them very much. You know? But God was not so happy with it, and he said to him, "This people, the men, actually, you should not actually union with them anymore." He said, "Because they will turn their backs towards me more and more, and their lifespan will be reduced." Yeah. And it said, and this person were the Gaians of the previous times. You know? And even like in the Greek mythology, that we say in mythology, but you see that they have very powerful persons like Hercules, you know, you have Samson. Yeah, you have Achilles, you have this great, and they think it's all mythology. But before that times, people were much more powerful. If you read the Mahabharata, you see, all the Pandavas, they were sons of demigods, they were of celestial beings. So, because of forgetfulness of in time, therefore, people, they cannot imagine anymore that this was reality. Yeah. It has become like sage, mythe, and fairy tale. But this is history. Okay, I will stop here because it gets a little late. So I will just read one time the verse. Attracted by the intelligence, learning, youth, beauty, behavior, opulence, and magnanimity of Agnidra, the king of Jambudvipa and master of all heroes, Purvachita lived with him for many thousands of years, and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. There are some comments or questions. Yes, Madhya? Yeah, it's a little difficult, but we can see on the example of Prabhupada, you know, like he didn't instruct the devotees to become opposed or not or rebellion to the government, and not listen anymore to what they say and just do their own thing, because then you become a sect, you know. Then you close yourself from society. He said, no, we have to cope in that degree that we keep a peaceful relation, you know, because we need them also, you know. If we, like in Antwerpen, the Rath Yatra, you know, is being more or less financially taken care of by the government, you know, by the, like the stage is paid, the little stalls are paid, so many things are paid by the government, the advertisements. So this is cooperation. So, but if we become rebellious, then they have no desire to cooperate. So we should be intelligent, and not like because cars pollute the planet, you know, therefore we don't drive cars anymore. Prabhupada said, no, with if you step into a thorn, with another thorn, you get out the thorn. So we use our intelligence and cope to the degree that we not, say, compromise with our own principles in Krishna consciousness. You see, if the government said, now all you must have eat meat because we have meat overstock, then we said, sorry, I said, but this goes too far. He said, give my portion to somebody else. So, and that's it. We have to use our intelligence. But like people in India, they desire to have the kingdom of Lord Ram, Ram Raj. Because Ram, he was such a very exemplary king. You know, it was amazing. See, if it should actually be said that if you want to become a king, yeah, you should read Mahabharata, Ramayana, you know. You should have this training. It said that even Ram was such a good king that even he didn't want that people suspect he did some wrongdoing. Yeah. So that is a controversial, but sometimes ladies, they have the most difficult with it, that Ram sent his wife away. You know? But he was good, he never did something back. But people could suspect that he had, you know, that she was had a relationship with Ravana, and that, so therefore actually he didn't want to even have this suspicion. So I think actually I can learn also myself. I was thinking, well, actually to be a person of perfect character, and means also that you do act in such a way that people even don't suspect you do some wrong. Yeah. So this is a high standard. But Prabhupada also, there was Prabhupada actually had so much trust because he acted in such a way. He was always surrounded by his disciples. He never went alone to somewhere, you know. And the more responsible position you have, the more you are should act, you know, in that way. So to have a, and it was actually you should not take this responsibility. We should work hard on our character. That is, Krishna consciousness means actually to work on our character and become humble, submissive servants of the Lord. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
So
Yeah, there's like what he says, like not dogmatic following. It's like also you use your intelligence. But let me think when you tell this, like me think about Bhishma, you know? Bhishma got from his guru the instructions you should marry. And with Samba, I think. Sambalika or Samba. And he refused. Yeah? So, because he had to make this promise. So, and even his spiritual master, actually, it showed that his moral of Bhishma was higher than that of his spiritual master at that moment, because his spiritual master could not defeat him in fight, you know. And then he understood that it is not the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's very. So it's good to also to follow. I probably said follow with intelligence. Eh? He said. Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Mantra Ki Jai, Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.